One of this summer's movie hits is A League of Their Own, about the Women's Baseball League formed during World War II. John Lovitz plays a scout who recruits the character played by Gina Davis. Lovitz has been trying to prove himself in films ever since he left Saturday Night Live in 1990. He'd been with the show since 1984. He became best known for the characters he created, like Tommy Flanagan, the pathological liar, the pretentious actor known as Master Thespian, Annoying Man, and a caricature of gay writer and actor Harvey Fierstein. I spoke with Lovitz last spring, and he told me how he created the character of Tommy Flanagan, the pathological liar.
I got it from old movies when, you know, in the 40s, and I'd say, yeah, that's the ticket. And yeah, I mean, I didn't make up that phrase. And then it really started as an inside joke between a friend of mine and I and a girl, and I was always trying to pick up on her, and she said she liked the guy with the fat wallet. So I'd say, well, you know, my dad just had 15 oil wells come in, and she'd say, yeah, right. And I'd say, well, I am a pathological liar. And then I was in the Growlings Theater, and I decided to write it up as a monologue, as a like a person at Alcoholics Anonymous when they get up and say, you know, I'm an alcoholic, and here's my story. And I, not that that's funny, but I thought it would be funny if it was a guy like Pathological Liars Anonymous. And then a guy would get up and start telling how he lied, and then just start lying about that. And the first time I did it, you know, I did it and people laughed. And then this engineer that worked at NBC came up to Lauren's office and said, oh, that's the funniest thing I ever saw. You should put that on more. And so it's because of the audience response, really, that you repeat characters. You know, it's not the other way around. It's the audience picks the hit characters and then, you know, so you continue to do them.
But at a certain point, you gave up the character. What was that point?
Well, I'd done it so many times and I just wanted to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So after the second year, it was just kind of enough.
So you decided to stop it?
Yeah, people are, you know, on Saturday Night Live, they're kind of weird about that. When you have a hit character, they
want you to milk it?
Well, no, they want you to do it, and when it becomes popular, then everyone tends to, you know, because they're comedians, they tend to make fun of it and not really, you know, go, yeah, that. And it's a weird thing when you have a hit character, they don't really... They're not saying, hey, that's great. They're kind of saying, like, making fun of it because the show, I guess, is supposed to be like anti-culture, you know, or whatever, you know, against the establishment. So when you have a hit character and it becomes part of that, then they end up, you know, making fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
So then after, you know, it bothered me at first. And then after a while, I go, okay, I get it, you know. But I kind of got tired of doing it. And then it made me feel good when I did Annoying Man my last year, and I just slapped it together, and like, you know, I just said, give me the costume, and I wrote it in like 30 seconds.
You want to describe the character?
I just trying to be somebody who's annoying in every possible way, and a very grating voice, and you know, like, hello, how are you? You know, and if you listen to someone talk like that for a long time, it would start getting annoying. And then I would chew on tin foil and take a fork and, you know, scrape it against a pan and, you know, really grating a chalkboard, you know, it was really grating. And it was just very silly. And in my opinion, it was very stupid. It was just being very silly. And it was taking a character like that and then, which was completely non-cerebral, just, you know, ridiculously silly and dumb. And then, it became popular and it felt... It felt good to me because a lot of the writers are from Harvard and they're like, oh, you know, they're trying to write really sophisticated, clever stuff that doesn't work a lot of times. And then you just come along with something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, you know, ha, ha,
So let me ask you about Master Thespian, your most pretentious actor. What was the story behind the creation of that character?
Oh, well, I went to a college at UC Irvine and there was a professor of mine, William Needles, who taught me Shakespeare. And when he would do it, though, himself, he'd always go, he'd say, like, the opening speech from Henry V, the chorus, and was, oh, for a muse of fire that would ascend the brightest heaven of invention. And he would say, like, oh, for a muse of fire that would ascend the brightest heaven of invention. Like that. And I thought it was very funny. I thought it was very good, but very funny, too. And I used to imitate him. And then I kind of put it together with... You know, and then I wanted to be an actor, and an actor is a, you know, that's what a thespian is. So I was like the master thespian. You know, I was just joking around with my friend and say, I'm the master thespian, because I just wanted to be a great actor. That was my goal.
One of my favorite sketches of the ones that you've done on Saturday Night Live was Harry Hanukkah.
Oh.
Did you write that?
No, Al Franken and Mike Myers wrote it.
Oh.
And but I based it on, they wrote it and it was really funny, and then I based it on this actor Ned Glass. Ned Glass talks like this, and he was the father on Bridget and Bernie. He was the Jewish father. He was in he's probably the best West Side Story. He was Pops, who I guess who runs the drugstore, the candy store.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was 15 years old...
What's wrong with you kids?
Well, when I was... You know, if you see these movies, you know who he is. When I was 15 years old, I was at my best friend's house, and his father is a doctor, and Ned Glass was one of his patients. And I was 15, and my friend's father says to Ned Glass, John wants to be an actor. And he says, you want to be an actor? He goes, what would you do if you hurt your toe? And I said, I'd say, ouch. He goes, would you say ouch if you were Hercules? And he goes, you know what you have to do? Because you know what you have to know to be an actor? You have to know everything. You think you could know everything? You have to know everything. You know, so as if he knew everything. And then he goes, you know, there was only... he was the same in every thing he played. And he was, you know, he was a good actor and he was funny, but he was always... He was just himself. He was exactly the same. And he says, you know... There was only two actors who were never typecast, me and Paul Muni. And so, anyways, I never forgot him, so he was good. He was a funny actor, you know, he's funny, but, you know, he never, I guess he always thought he played all these different characters, and really he was just always, hello, how are you? I mean, in Julius Caesar, in the movie with Marlon Brando, he's in the opening market scene, and everyone's going, my lord, come here and hither. And he's in the market saying, you want to buy some oranges, my lord? You know.
were there any jokers in your family? Did you have a father who would sit around the dinner table and tell jokes?
Yeah, he used to goof off, and he used to make prank phone calls. And I mean, the look for annoying man I got from him, he used to comb his hair forward and wear his glasses low. He didn't act like that, but that's where I got the look from. And He used to do something. He used to come home and tell us he was his twin brother, Howard. We would be like 7 or 8. But he would play it so straight for like a half an hour and just insist on it. And then he would leave and then like 20 minutes later come back. I guess he would just wait in his car. And then we'd say, Howard was here. He goes, he was? You know.
So he really had a twin brother, Howard.
Huh? No, he didn't.
Oh, he didn't?
No, he just said he did.
I see. Okay.
We were young. He would do stuff like that.
Is it difficult to convince casting directors that you can do parts outside of the types of characters you created on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, it's difficult. One time, I had met Dustin Hoffman before, and he said, you're in my next picture, you know? And I'd met him once. We had at the same agency, and then... And then a man about 8 months later, he goes, oh, I didn't know who you were when I met you, and I've seen you, you're very funny, you're in my next movie. And then I ran into him again about a year later in the street, and I said, he goes, hey, how are you? I go, good. I go, well, you know, you said I was in your next movie, and then Rain Man came out, and I said, Tom Cruise, what happened to me? You know, so he laughed, and he goes, well, I met then, I'm bringing you in my next movie, which was Billy Bathgate, and he did bring me in, he was really nice, and he brought me in to meet Robert Benton, and he just said, well, I just think John, you know. Oh, well, what happened was there was on the table, there was the paper, you know, there was two copies of Billy Bathgate, the hardcover and the paperback. So I go in, and I said, Robert Benton, so which movie are you doing, the hardcover or the paperback? You know, and they laughed. And then he said, well, this is a serious movie. And then Dustin Hoffman goes, yeah, now's not the time to be funny. And I went, oh. So anyway, we talked, and you know, I was thrilled that he brought me in. And then he's saying, well, you know, I just think John's great, and he does the characters. Where can we fit him in the movie? What do you think of this part of it? And Robert Benton said, oh, I know, he can do anything, I'm sure, but I just think the audience will start laughing once they see him on the screen. And I said, well, yeah, they might laugh at first, but then... you know, after a few minutes, then it'll be fine, you know. So it wasn't a question of whether I could had the ability, in Rob Benton's mind, whether I had the ability or to do it or not, but whether, like, you know, they'll see me and start laughing. But I don't know. So I didn't get in the movie, but that's all right. And so I don't know. I'll get the opportunity. You know, I don't know. I don't really view it as my problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if people want to limit, you know, you're on Saturday Night Live and you play, you know, five different characters almost every week, you know, for 91 shows. And and the people say, well, can you play this? And you're going, well, I guess I can do these 500, but this is, you know, no, this one style. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Everyone on that show, not only saying myself, but Jan Hooks, Dana Carvey, Phil Hartman, you know, they're all tremendously versatile and really can, you know, play any style and any, you know, can do it.
Well, John Lovitz, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Thank you.
John Lovitz is featured in the movie A League of Their Own. This is Fresh Air.